gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, it is. It's Monday.
Coming back down out of the high altitude?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, stephaniemiller.com. Listen, I just do not go on the road with Aisha Tyler. The woman
can drink. I've heard.
Listen. Oh. We love you, Santa Fe! I'll be fine. I'll pull it together. Don't worry. It has been, what a weekend we had. Sexy Liberal Show in Santa Fe. John Fugel saying, Aisha Tyler and I, that's the difference. Hal Sparks, as you know, does not drink at all. Has never had a drink in his whole life.
Right.
Aisha Tyler.
Oh, my
quite the opposite.
God.
Wow. And we were there the whole weekend. Santa Fe is, first of all, as you know, it's just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And first of all, it's adorable.
It's adorable?
Can I just say, Aisha Tyler was bigger than the plane we flew in. You fly into Santa Fe in a tiny little plane.
Yeah.
And it's a tiny little airport.
Yeah.
It's a teeny, seriously, Aisha is 6 feet tall, and just watching her get on the plane was hilarious. The material about the airport, it's like literally like, your bags will be on the coffee table, who'd like some pie? It's just the cutest.
Oh, did you fly there from?
It's the tiniest little, it's like a little, everything's tiny little pueblos, everything is turquoise. It's oh, so funny.
And I hear the Lensic is a gorgeous theater.
Oh, gorgeous theater. And just what a crowd Saturday night. Unbelievable. We did a matinee, which was also fun, but that was the politest crowd. I don't think I'm an afternoon show.
Oh, really?
That was the politest crowd ever. Like, the Q&A was like a compliment and sit down. I was so, because you know me, I'm used to, show us your, you suck, you know,
right.
Something.
Right. Something a little more risque.
A little punchy, something.
Yeah.
Yeah, the evening show was bizarre as usual. It was, I don't know, people brought me thongs and
really?
I was asked odd questions and it just was, yeah. But anyway, we just had an amazing time. And Aisha Tyler, first time, it rocked it out. Hilarious. And
I hear the C word was uttered.
Oh, she uttered the C word and the N word, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in a Sexy Liberal Show, which is, wow, that was
shocking.
If you can shock me, you know. Yeah, that was when I got to say, one of the most hilarious things from panel is John Fugelsang brought up Alan West,
mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh, is that the pizza guy? I said, no, that's Herman Cain. I said, don't be racist. She said, I'm sorry, they all look alike to me. Oh, Lord. Okay. So, yeah, she does. I hadn't seen her stand up in a long time, and so she's just hilarious. She does a bit of, which we talk about how you get to a certain age and you can just injure yourself doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So the line that'll stick in my head for the rest of my life is she said, how did I wake up with a paper cut on my
Oh, dear.
Yeah, which I don't know. I don't know how one wakes up with a paper cut on their boob. But anyway, it was.
Oh, their boob. I thought you meant down below.
No.
Oh.
No. All right. Anyway, so thank you, Santa Fe. What an amazing time. We just had it just was like a week-long party. Mom is, as you can tell, a little worse for the wear.
Yeah, are you okay?
Mm.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I'll be fine.
It's that dry air that's up that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we did some great hikes and just
awesome.
A lot of eating. Geronimo's, the restaurant. Oh, my God.
Spicy food? It is New Mexico.
No, we just, it was, well, I didn't order spicy food. It was just amazing food. It was, oh, I'm sorry. Is the microphone still on? I'm fine now.
Who
because
am I? Why am I here?
Thank God we have a weekend to recover before August 20th, ladies and gentlemen. We're coming.
Start your engines, Detroit, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA.
Can't forget the Motor City.
On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy teeth.
I want to get back to Michigan, and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
Sweet.
Oh, and by the way, you remember, Claire Mink is coming to the Detroit show.
Oh, yeah. That
person. Really, really big name is coming to Detroit. Aisha and I are already making up stuff about it. We're already just making up stories that we're going to say happen, even if they didn't. They just get more and more, just bigger and bigger names get dropped in. You'll see.
President Obama?
Yes, we think that. Sure. We think he'll be involved at some point. Yes. We're going to make up stories already in advance about what's going to happen in Detroit.
Well, it would be nice if he considered himself a sexy liberal.
Exactly.
Oh.
Okay, drunk stack. I have to. I can't believe I missed this. I a future husband in New Mexico that I missed.
Yeah.
Now I got to go back. I got Alba. Well, you know what? We'll have to play Albuquerque coming up soon. New Mexico mayor drunk when he signed deal. Wouldn't it be great if you could just? Oh, I'm sorry.
What's the mayor of Albuquerque?
No, I know. Mayor of Sunland Park.
Yes.
Listen, I am not still drunk. I've got it.
Well,
I've got
this. I just didn't want to, disparage the mayor of Albuquerque. He was, I'm sure, a fine mayor.
Yes. Sunland Park, New Mexico Mayor Martin Resendiz, says he was drunk when he signed 9 contracts with a California company that is now suing the city for $1
million. Oh, boy. $1
million. $1 million. And a couple of friggin' sharks with laser beams.
$1 million. Mm-hmm. You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
Yeah, and that's not easy. In New Mexico, which is landlocked, it's hard to find sharks with laser beams. It's just I'm saying.
You got the real
It's not
grand.
Like it's Denver City by the Bay.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. He acknowledged...
Denver City by the Bay!
That's lousy with sharks with laser beams.
Of course.
Resendiz acknowledged during a deposition he had been drinking for several hours with executives. See, that's what it's like in New Mexico, in my experience. We went to lunch and drank, right after the matinee.
Yeah.
And then we had another drinking section after the two shows thing is, that's a lot of drinking.
It is.
Chardonnay backstage as well. It's a long day in Santa Fe. He'd been drinking for several hours with executives of the architectural design firm Synthesis and didn't know what he was signing. God knows what I signed in Santa Fe.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I think that's when Roland, our tour director, gets me sauced up, and then I sign up for that's how this happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sneak in on my paper calendar.
Yes.
And then suddenly I'm like, I'm going where? When? For the rest of my what? All right. And one Republican drunk stack, because this is great, because the big election, recall election, where the first sexual liberal show started,
right.
And we gave money to the recall of the Republican 8. It's tomorrow, right, ladies and gentlemen?
That
tomorrow. Okay. This story just in time. Wisconsin County Republican chairwoman resigns after drunken crash with her children in the car.
Oh.
Everyone's okay.
Okay.
So it's funny.
Okay.
The chairwoman, you know what? I want to set the sign that she feels things might not go well tomorrow. A little tense.
Yeah.
Come on, kids. Mama's going to go get some more medicine. Here we go. The chairwoman of the Republican Party of Columbia County resigned Friday after a drunken crash with her 3 children in her car. Amber Hahn, please and thank you, said she crashed her car Thursday night while driving drunk and no one was hurt. Other vehicles were involved. So that's all good.
And she's been on Fox News as a concerned mother.
Really?
Yes, they did not label her as a part of the Republican Party.
Yes.
She's just a concerned mother.
Well, and I'm sure she has concerned children as well at this point.
And now they're concerned.
Mommy, what? Okay.
Mommy, why are you drinking again? Those would be
now
the Miller children.
Now there's probably a lot of other concerned mothers concerned about her mothering.
Yes.
Just a skosh.
The Miller children.
Okay.
Mommy, why are you drinking again?
Me? Oh, my children.
Yes.
Yeah. No, they would know not to ask that. you know why I'm drinking.
Why?
Debt ceiling crisis, for God's sakes. It's not like I could drink anymore. I've been having a lot of debt ceiling crisis sex, to break the tension.
With whom?
Well, myself. Oh. I've been, myself, before the Republicans could me.
But we know.
Thanks a lot for the downgrade, you morons.
Well.
Oh,
S&P doesn't have that much standing.
They had a little math error. They're about $2 trillion off, I think, as the administration says. But they literally. Here's the thing. I we always talked to my I'm going to spoon with Eric Bollard, as I do on Mondays in a little bit. It's because it's the mainstream media. And John Fugelsang pointed this out, I think, at the show Saturday night, that, you know, this is, has several paragraphs. It's not the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
The storyline was, you know, over and over again, oh, it's a Republican victory, Republican victory. Well, first of all, the polling, Republicans more upset with a debt ceiling deal than Democrats.
Right.
82% disapproval rating of the Republican Congress.
Yeah.
The House. I mean, it's anyway, but the storyline, you didn't really hear this. S&P repeatedly cited GOP intransigence on taxes.
Yes.
I mean, and I'll read from it over and over again. I mean, that's exactly what, you know, the president's position, and most Americans agree with the president's position on it. And by the way, I have a bunch of stuff I say, but Ezra Klein has a great mm-hmm. piece. A lot of stuff I've been pointing out in Randy Rhodes about the Bush tax cuts and mm-hmm. What the, you know, the strategy should be now and all that. But the strategy should not be to lie down and puss out, Democrats.
Right.
It's time to man up.
Well, also, Standard & Poor's were also the people who were saying that the mortgage-backed securities were a rock-solid investment.
Yes, rock-solid.
Yes. So...
Yeah. No, exactly.
Well,
yeah, Bernie Sanders pointed that out.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So lots of great stuff to get to. Eric Bollard, of course, coming up. Paula Poundstone.
I love
How
her.
How is it not a great day when Paula Poundstone's on the show? And, of course, Mondays with Edie McClurg in hour number 3. See, I'm pulling it together.
Wow, those brain cells are working again. They're firing.
Wow, they're backstroking. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it! I don't get it, but I love it!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Do it again. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The Rude Pundit. I forgot. It's Rude Pundit coming up in just a few minutes.
Yeah.
What's wrong with me?
Oh, boy. You're going to start out the morning with a little fight, are we? With the Rude Pundit?
Probably.
No, it's going to be a friendly debate.
I have no time for gloomy people.
Okay.
I'm a happy, clappy liberal.
We are going to get through this. Things will get better. And we're going to get there together.
Yeah, except it would probably be easier without the Republicans. S&P, as we all know, Reuters reports the U.S. lost its top-notch AAA credit rating from Standard & Poor's on Friday.
Yep.
That means both the country and I could presumably be in AA. You know what I'm saying? Because... I'm just kidding. I'm not going. In explaining their decision, Standard & Poor's cites both the decision by Republicans in Congress to turn the debt ceiling into a political football and the Republicans' intransigence on tax increases. I love how Mitch McLiplis said that like it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
That, oh, this sets a precedent that now no president will ever get a clean debt bill. Now, like, these kind of hostage negotiations, taking the country hostage, will always be linked. I mean, the problem is, like we've said, are you ready? Bat Michelle Bachmann? No!
She of the really scary Newsweek cover? Have you seen that picture?
Oh, we have to get. We have so much to get to.
Holy
cow. Oh, my
God.
Somebody confirmed it is not Photoshop.
She sat and posed for that.
Crazy. Oh, my God. She has Marty Feldman eyes.
I have to think she had photo approval on that.
I know it. I have photo approval over my stupid...
Really? Well, you have photo approval over those?
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
It's the best I can do, but still. Oh, my God, seriously, everybody's talking about that.
Yeah.
Check out the Newsweek cover. Hilarious. She looks completely crazy.
Yeah.
She just...
Someone said that she looks fine.
And maybe that if she clearly had photo approval, clearly that was the least crazy picture.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, that's okay.
So,
she looks like, you know what, she has like Runaway Bride eyes. Remember her?
Yeah.
Remember that crazy yacht?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Someone online said that she, you know, she looks fine and kind of normal, I guess, when she takes candid pictures. But when she sits there and poses for a picture.
It was like when she was looking in the wrong camera for that response.
Yeah.
Really crazily.
Right. She just,
Anyway, she said a couple things. Okay, one of them, she said that her candidacy is the one that the White House fears most.
Mm-hmm.
And I, yes.
Computer 38.
Yes. That is correct. We absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, but the other thing, she said she blamed the president for the downgrade. She said it happened on your watch. Like, she wasn't one of the people rooting for a default. Like, she wasn't one of the people saying, I will not vote to raise the debt ceiling under any circumstances.
She is the reason. She's the reason that Standard & Poor's gave for lowering the credit rating.
Literally, I hate to have to tell the story about my Republican brother in the vase again, but she literally said, well, it happened on your watch. All right, I'm telling the story about my Republican brother.
Okay, here we go again.
Okay, so when we were kids in the 70s, and he used to yell, Butkus, meaning Dick Butkus, the very feared tackler.
What team?
Packers, I think.
Is it the Bears?
Bears.
Maybe the Bears?
Someone call me. 1-800-STEP-12. Okay.
Is it tackling where you are?
Anyway, and then that'd be my cue to run for my life while he chased me.
It was the Bears.
It wasn't really a game. It wasn't a game for me. It was survival. And then he would tackle me, and on this one occasion, into my mother's Ming vase. And I say Ming vase, I don't even know what it is or whether she had one. It just seems like that some precious vase you might have in the 70s.
Or was it like that crystal egg from Risky Business?
Yes! Okay. Yes, it was the crystal egg.
There is a crack on the inside of this egg.
And
I am very disappointed in you.
And by the way, that disappointment has continued lifelong for my parents.
Aw.
Anyway, my point is, then there was this pause, and he just goes, Mom is going to kill you. You see how that's how Republicans are. Look what you did.
Yeah.
Look what you did. All right. Can you hear that story enough? Probably you can. I've pulled that out of my ass how many times. All right, here are the fun facts from the actual the Standard & Poor's.
Okay.
The political brink... This is the actual... what they said. The political brinkmanship of recent months highlights what we see as America's governance and policymaking becoming less stable, less effective, and less predictable than when we previously believed. The statutory debt ceiling and the threat of default have become political bargaining chips in the debate over fiscal policy. Yes, thanks to the Republicans for the first time in our history. It appears for now new revenues have dropped down on the menu of policy options. Skipping forward again, the act contains no measures to raise taxes or otherwise enhance revenues, though the committee could recommend them. Skip forward too. Compared with previous projections, our revised base care scenario now assumes the 2001-2003 tax cuts due to expire by the end of 2012 remain in place. We have changed our assumption on this because the majority of Republicans in Congress continue to resist any measure that would raise revenues, a position we believe Congress reinforced by passing the act. Standard & Poor's indicates they could have improve their rating for the U.S., quote, if the 2001 and 2003 tax cuts, Bush tax cuts,
right,
for high earners lapse from 2013 onwards, as the administration is advocating. By the way, the Wall Street Journal says a spokesman for Eric Cantor, Adam's apple, declined to comment Friday night.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Computer says no.
No, Adam's apple had no comment. That's why Eric Cantor's bitch face.
Eric Cantor's bitchface.tumblr.com.
It's such an awesome website.
Yes.
Because I'm sure he made exactly one of those faces when he was told that S&P had blamed Republicans.
You took a taxi. That's precious.
Oh, my God. What, they blamed who? Oh, no. All right. Margie in Santa Fe, New Mexico is at the Sexy Liberal Show. Hi, Margie.
Hi, Steph. Good morning.
Good morning.
It was fun. I told I left with my cheeks just hurting.
Which ones? Oh, good. Oh, the laughter cheeks. Okay.
Yeah, it was good.
Me too.
I'm so glad I went. I wish that there's only one thing wrong. I wish I could have met you.
Oh, well, next time we'll be back for sure because we had such a great time. But thanks so much for coming.
How was the evening show?
Oh, it was really, really filthy. You wouldn't be able to handle that. If your cheeks are sore now, trust me. That's mine were sore from the teabagging demonstration, which... Well, I have to say, John Spiegelstein didn't want to do it, but he took it up with gusto.
Aww.
He really manned up.
He stepped up to the plate.
He manned up. Oh, he did. 29 minutes after the hour, Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do
traditionally, the 4th of July fireworks were operated by the person most likely to be sober and dateless. Once again, the honor fell to me.
Stephanie Miller.
Uh-oh, it's your helmet. Stocks dropping by 200 at opening. Yep. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Let's get rude.
Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, your rudeness.
Good morning, Stephanie.
You know, you're so sultry this morning. I'm going to blame that I was drunk all weekend in Santa Fe, but, you know, it could have just been denial that I did not read your negative stuff about the debt deal. So why don't you tell me what you... I just didn't get to it in time. I'm sorry. I love the Michelle Malkin stuff. We'll get to that. But give me... Maybe it's better that we just improv your impressions of what the debt deal.
Well, you see, I was not happy because at least two press conferences, President Obama said, I'm not going to support any deal that doesn't have revenue increases in it.
See, okay, let me just stop. Let me stop you there. Because I don't know if you read, Ezra Klein. I think I read John Alter as well this weekend. I think how Randy Rhodes and I have been talking about this as well. I think the president was very smart with this deal, and I think it is likely that the Bush tax cuts at least were expired. So I think there is revenue in there.
You see, unfortunately, he's broken his trust with me, and I wrote a
breakup letter. I started to read that. Yes.
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 And I don't trust that that's what's going to happen.
Well, but let me just say, I understand your point of view. It's just the more and more I read about it, I feel like it is smart in the sense that they are going to be in a different position, in a stronger position at that point. That, you know, you and I have had this conversation many times. The problem is you're dealing with people, as you say, all of the analogies are apt. You know, terrorists, hostage takers. It's like, what else do you call it? Mitch McConnell called it that.
Right.
You know?
You are dealing with crazy people. And
right.
But what he's got to demonstrate to me is that he's willing to stand up to the crazy people and call them out. You see, there's another piece to this. It's not just that he's compromising. It's that he's compromising while at the same time doing that dual blame, that let's blame everybody, that Democrats are responsible for this too. And occasionally he'll call out Republicans specifically, but I'm sorry, at this point Democrats are not to blame. And I understand the politics
right,
of not
but,
wanting to see
but rude.
Partisan.
No, I hear you. I'm sorry. I don't mean to talk over you. I get, you know, I'm fired up about this.
You're on TV. You're used to that kind of thing.
I don't mean to be rude. That's your job. Now, in a good way. But, I think that part of this is, first of all, we're in an election cycle. Let's be honest. And most, if you look at the polling, you know, most Americans, and that's that center that he has to win, agree with him that there should be a balanced approach to this. But that also, you're right, it includes tax, you know, revenues and things, you know, the rich should pay their fair share, but it shouldn't come out of the social safety net. So, I mean, I think that, and we talked about this, that, you know, it's not that Krugman's not a brilliant economist, but there is politics in this that there's no other way around this, I think, with the current makeup of the Congress. But, I mean, I hear you. I was just going to say, interesting, you mentioned television. I was supposed to go on Howard Kurtz yesterday at Reliable Sources, and doing so much traveling,
right.
I just can never do it. But it was interesting. He had Joan Walsh on, who obviously was probably booked in place of me, and she feels the same way you do. And this is what drives me crazy. I love Joan, but I'm like going, oh, okay, so this is
she was on Real Time, too.
The disgruntled progressive base, and I don't agree.
Yeah, Joan Walsh and I have actually kind of shared a brain. She writes a little more politely than I do. But
right.
It's very odd. I read her stuff, and I'm like, oh, come on, I was just about to write that.
Right. Well, what do you make of this poll I was just talking about? I mean, Republicans more upset with the debt ceiling deal than Democrats. Despite the sentiment that the deal struck to raise the debt ceiling was a victory for the GOP, Republicans are more upset with the deal than Democrats. According to a new Gallup poll, Democrats generally favor the bill. Almost 64% of Republicans disapprove of it.
Well, I'd want to know. I'm going to answer your question, but I do want to know. I would want to know how the question was asked, because I think that most Democrats are actually relieved that the debt ceiling was raised and that
right.
the full mm-hmm. faith and credit of the United States was rescued.
Right.
I think that's a huge part of that, and I think that there's a certain number of Republicans that didn't want the debt ceiling raised, no matter what. And see anything other than not raising it as capitulation.
Yeah. Well,
in other words, we're happy that there was at least 2% compromise. They're mad that there was 2% compromise.
Well,
we're going by John
Boehner's
98%.
I'm reading Daily Caller. The numbers may seem surprising given the storyline that the Republicans were the victor in the negotiations. Well, not if you were listening to me or to Randy Rhodes or to Rush Limbaugh, by the way.
Who hated
this deal and who, you know, saw it in some ways the same way Randy Rhodes and I do. You know, so I'm just saying I think the way the triggers are done was smart because of defense spending. And I'll get to the plea. I think it's Ezra Klein, but it really is a great piece about the position that we're in a much stronger position, I think, than you would think, particularly on the Bush tax cuts.
Yeah, I mean, I know that piece where he said that it just that's his negotiating tool next is the Bush tax cuts. But the thing is that what everybody says in a lot of those pieces about the Bush tax cuts is that somehow he's going to be able to separate out the tax cuts for the wealthy, and the Republicans are not going to allow that. And again, unless he is willing to specifically call out Republicans and say it is Republicans who are going to let your middle tax cuts expire, then then the whole debate is lost again.
Yeah, well, here it is. Yeah, it's Ezra Klein, Washington Post. One shot on taxes, don't blow it, Dems. So, yeah, and you're right. What evidence do we have that the Democrats would blow anything? I mean, because you and I have talked about this. Sometimes, whether it's Gitmo or public option, it's Democrats. That's why I just get crazy about everybody, you know, blaming the president for everything. Because someone had written me a letter about Charlie Pierce, who we love.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he just obviously gotten to be a big Obama naysayer, and I love him, and we have open debate on this show, but this was the thing I'd forgotten about. He came on and said, don't ask, don't tell is done. It is dead. It's
a long
you know time.
Yeah,
I mean?
He said that a long time ago. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, so it's just, I'm just saying, you know, and then stuff gets done, and I love my Jim Ward, but when we killed Bin Laden, he's like, we should have taken him alive. It's like, I'm just saying, there are people, in my opinion, on both sides, the president cannot do anything right.
Now, let me say, I do not sit here and go, we should have elected Hillary. I don't do that.
Right.
I still think there would have been a giant anti-Clinton machine
mm-hmm.
that would have been after her from the day she was in office. And they at least had to get the anti-Obama machine up and running. And I think he's going to be reelected. You know, I don't think any of these goobs and buffoons have a chance at all. I think that if Mitt Romney were to say that he'll sell his soul to the devil in order to win, the devil would say, really?
Yeah.
See, that's why I don't care how much we disagree. The fact that you use the word goobs.
And that's the most polite thing you could say.
Yeah.
That wasn't very rude.
Yeah, well, you know, the FCC's listening.
Yeah, okay.
let's move to things that we both can agree on, as you write this week, why Michelle Malkin should be caged like a rabid shih tzu. you say, mostly the rude pundit has stopped giving a happy monkey what conservative columnist Michelle Malkin has to say on any given topic because it's boringly predictable and written. But her latest piece attacking Matt Damon's defense of public school teachers at the Save Our Schools rally in D.C. has a line that's infuriating you because you can bet that Malkin thought she was being oh so clever. And the line was, out, reading is fundamental, in, feeling is fundamental. It's this typical, you know, accusation against liberals, right?
Right. And it's aggravating to me because Republicans in the House cut the funding for Reading is Fundamental, the actual program that she was using the phrase from. And I just thought, you don't even realize what you're doing. You don't even realize that you're actually, that they took out the funding for a program that has done immense amounts of good in teaching those basic skills that you want taught.
Right.
And it's just this canard that somehow liberals have screwed over academics when it's the Bush bill, No Child Left Behind, that has done more damage than anything else. And did you see that the Obama administration is going to start allowing states to opt out of No Child Left Behind?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a. That's actually. You want me to say? You want me to say something positive about Obama?
Yes.
That's like one of the best things somebody has done for education in a long time.
Well, but you know, you bring this. This is just so great and timely that you bring up. You know, particularly that the elections are in Wisconsin tomorrow. You know, you say Matt Damon's right. Malkin and conservatives want to narrow down the problems of education in America to selfish teachers sucking the system dry. And then they take pride in gutting the school system, any programs that might educate the poor. And that's exactly what that's about. You know,
yeah.
It's like somehow all of your fiscal things, because of greedy teachers, greedy unions. It's like, oh, please.
Yeah, let's break the public worker unions. And, oh, by the way, let's cut funding for any of the things that actually do the public good.
Yeah.
Like infrastructure, where we'd have to hire people and make them public workers that might want some union protection.
Yeah. I have to do the story with you before you go because it's just so along the same lines. But Rick Santorum, early childhood education is an indoctrination ploy. Socialists love children. I mean, first of all, and this is from the man that who has said this is the dumbest member of Congress I ever met.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that like Scarborough or somebody? I mean, it was somebody like conservative.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. He has had another unconventional platform issue to his conservative campaign, opposing early childhood education. In a town hall in Iowa, he made clear he opposed any programs to put children in school as soon as possible. That'd be bad. Warning they were ploys for socialists to, quote, take your children from the womb so they can indoctrinate your children as to what they want them to be.
Wow. I wish that was true. That would certainly make this a much more chill nation.
Yeah.
But isn't that? Let's just keep them dumb. Let's just keep them dumb and keep them at home and teaching them the Bible.
That's what he says. He homeschooled all his children, and he says obviously socialists love children just like they love people in groups of 1 million or more.
What?
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I mean, here he is, the dumbest member of Congress that another conservative has ever met, homeschooling his kids and telling you all have to do the same thing. He literally said it's parents' responsibility to educate their children. It's not the government's job. Of course the government wants to get their hands on your children as fast as they can. That's why I'm opposed to all these early starts and pre-early starts and early starts. I mean, it really does seem like, oh, my God, we need to raise kids dumb enough to vote for Rick Santorum. Is that not...
Yeah, I think that's the plan, and isn't that insidious in its own way?
Yes, exactly. We need to raise a nation of people just as dumb as I am.
It was a McCain aide that said that Rick Santorum was the dumbest member.
Yes, there you go.
Again, a Republican who said that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Beautiful
thing. All right.
Keep them dumb. Keep them happy. Keep them reading the Bible.
Keep them homeschooled.
There you go.
Keep them going to Rick Perry events.
No, and that's not to, by the way, because now we'll get the letters and calls from people that homeschool, which we're not judging, but it's just for Rick Santorum to say that everybody should and no one should have the option to send their children to any, early as...
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, right. No, I'm judging homeschool.
Okay, all right. Yeah. All right, send your letters to rudepundit.blogspot.com. Love you, Rude. See you next week, honey.
Bye.
All right, bye. All right, 46. See how I gently steer us to things we agree about?
That's right.
47, he doesn't even realize he's been manhandled. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Vicki in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Vic.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Good to talk with you.
You too. Go ahead.
I'm calling in response to the discussion that was just took place about homeschoolers.
Uh-huh.
And I homeschooled my now grown son.
Well, that's okay. You're smart.
Well, thank you. And, you know, the response and the reason that we opted for homeschooling was because we resisted the dominant knowledge that is crammed down the throats of American children that is really capitalistic in base. Mm-hmm. And I want to further this discussion and respond that you know, many and probably the vast amount of homeschoolers, the reason they choose that path is to ensure inclusion.
Right. Oh, Vicki, I get it. We, you know, I think we were making a point, you know, partially tongue in cheek, that this literally is a man that has been called the dumbest member of Congress homeschooling his kids. But beyond that, saying that nobody should have any other option. I mean, basically saying he's against all early education.
Right.
I mean,
that's
just,
a problem.
You know, I mean, that's all we're talking about.
Oh, and I am 100% for public education. You know, the Detroit area is experiencing some very unique situations with our public school system.
Yeah.
And what's happening now is, you know, a lot of charter schools are getting on board, and this creates all kinds of problems. Mm-hmm. Most of them are led by corporations. And secondly, I really want to point out that a lot of the teachers that are forced to take jobs with charter schools are making poverty level wages.
Yeah. Yep. I hear you. All good points, Vicki. All right. Thank you. You know what I propose?
What?
That we educate all of our children with GoToMeeting.
Yeah.
All at the same time. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Promo code is Stephanie. I'm just saying. Aisha Tyler and us are basically teachers, don't you think?
Sure.
Mostly. We've been talking about the children.
Teachers who use the C word.
We gave a good lesson last week, didn't we? On In This Economy, even Charlie Sheen has stopped having to snort blow off hookers. And that's not an efficient way to snort your blow. So that's all we were saying, kids. Don't, you know, don't in this economy. You know what I'm saying? Stop using hookers. Because it's just, you know, stuff falls in cracks and stuff, and it's not an efficient way.
You can't Hoover it out.
No. Exactly.
Yeah.
So don't say I don't care. All right. Oh, by the way, that was one of the...
Is that
can
your...
I just say, Aisha Tyler says equally hilarious things off stage as she does on stage. I just, as you know, I love her in the most awkwardly enthusiastic and yet non-gay way in the world.
Uh-huh.
But we were talking at dinner because she and her husband, you know, she's been married 17 years to her cracker, as
That's
she
right.
calls him.
Yep.
And I asked, you know, why, if they have kids. And she said, well... I don't know if you know this about children, but they come out of your vagina. And I didn't see. That's the nice thing about having a girl on the tour with me.
You didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Wow.
No. And that's why she's not really into that. They may. She's maybe we'll adopt later. Whatever. I don't know.
Okay. Good for her.
It's just little, you know, things that you may not have that may have escaped your attention. It's a tightness issue. Okay.
Is that another thing your mom kept from you when you were growing up?
Listen, we didn't
where
talk.
Babies come
Republicans
from?
Republicans don't talk. Well, I was abandoned by wolves and raised by
okay. She,
Republicans, so there was no mention.
So you thought babies came from wolves?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The president.
Both parties are going to have to work together on a larger plan to get our nation's finances in order.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's been going so well thus far because they're so... By the way, well, you know what they're going to, with the jobless rate where it is and all that, Republicans are going to spend the entire month of August trying to promote this ridiculous balanced budget thing that's never going to pass. Is a horrendous idea, but that's what they're working on. They're working for you. Working. By the way, before we're going to go to Eric Bowler and Right Wing World in just a bit, but we obviously got into this a little bit with Aisha being on the Sexy Liberal Tour about race. And mm-hmm. I mean, we obviously had a Republican call the president's car baby last week.
Yep.
We had Pat Buchanan. This is my favorite, I have to say, television moment last week when he said to Al Sharpton, he called the president your boy. And I thought, like, Al Sharpton's original hairstyle was going to come back. Oh, what? He's my what? Like, he...
It's going to go all Don King on your ass.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, the funnier part is that Pat Buchanan doesn't even, he's like, what? What did I say? I didn't mean it. Huh?
Pat Buchanan.
Not since he wrote the, you know, the editorial about how, you know, black people should thank us for the nice boat ride to America, to the greatest country in the world. Has there been a time where he was just like, I just meant you're, like, in a sports kind of way.
Oh, my God. God.
Okay, so you tell me, is this racism or not? Fox Nation redubs President Obama's birthday party a hip-hop barbecue.
That story is horribly, horribly racist,
yes.
Especially with the way they presented it on that website.
Yeah, look at it. Obama's hip-hop barbecue didn't create jobs. First of all, so the president's not entitled to have a 50th birthday party. And secondly, what, because Jay-Z was there? That makes it a hip-hop.
Yeah.
Barbecue. And then here's the thing. When they keep, you know, screaming, oh, we're not racist, the network shut off further comments on the article, which were becoming incendiary.
You think?
Oh, gee, you think? You think, oh, they whipped up their racist, you know, base over there at Fox News and then went, what? Why? Where are all these horrible, offensive, racist comments coming from? I love the president, the vice VP of Fox says, we found many of the comments to be offensive and inappropriate, and they've been removed. What? We don't know. That's crazy. Where could people have... How could that have been whipped up in some way that the president... Yeah.
Fox Nation is Fox News' answer to FreeRepublic.com.
Yeah.
It's their way of corralling those crazies.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll tell you more of the details of that. Eric Bollert in Right Wing World as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Time to feel good despite a weekend of drinking with Aisha Tyler. The woman can pound that booze. God bless her. All right.
What's her drink of choice? Is it whiskey?
Anything in front of her. Good God.
Really?
Martinis, wine. God love that woman. What a weekend in Santa Fe, everybody. John Fugel saying standing ovation. Aisha Tyler, standing ovation. Me, they're too tired by the time I get up. But anyway, thank you, Santa Fe. What a great weekend. Sexy Liberal Show. Go to sexyliberal.com. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. By the way, John Fugel saying took some amazing pictures. We're going through all of them, and we will get those
photo approval and all.
Yeah, he has he has every angle that my ass has ever been shot at, just from backstage, and I think he must have, you know what, they must have lowered him like Spider-Man for some of those pictures, is that the musical I'm thinking of? Yeah. Anyway. All right.
Or Mission Impossible.
Yes, exactly. Okay. I don't even know how he got it.
Maybe they should hire John Fugelsang to take a good picture of Michelle Bachmann.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, because she hasn't had a good picture taken of her at all.
Oh, and you asked me, Aisha Tyler brought a very limited edition Boogity Boogity Cheese t-shirt. You asked, how did that go?
Yeah.
The woman got an envelope of cash like you would see at the Bada Bing Club in The Sopranos.
Oh, no.
Or something. Seriously, after both shows, she just was handed a giant envelope full of cash. Because we couldn't keep Boogity Boogity t-shirts in the place.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yes, giant wad of cash. All right, so Detroit coming up next, August 20th. Get your tickets, they're going fast in Detroit. And then you can see all of the upcoming dates on sexyliberal.com and how to get tickets. All right, Eric's here, yay! Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollert. Come on, baby. Eric Bollert.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollert from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollert.
Good morning, Eric Bollert.
Good morning.
You know, before we get into your great stuff as usual, we were talking about the, we got talking a lot about race. What with last week, Pat Buchanan and the Republican calling the president a tar baby. But we were talking about Fox Nation redubbing President Obama's 50th birthday party as a hip-hop barbecue that didn't create jobs.
Yeah, that was amazing. And what was even more amazing, I mean, it was just sort of classic Fox race baiting. They seem to go even deeper in the summer months. There's a definite pattern that we've seen over the years since Obama's been in the White House. But then the amazing part is, at the end of the day, Bill Shine, who's the VP of quote-unquote news at Fox, rather than just apologize, rather than say this was a dumb idea, we apologize, you know, he puts out some statement trying to justify why they're calling the president's birthday party a hip-hop barbecue.
Yeah.
And shocked
to find out that there was racism going on in the comments on the their blog posting this.
Yeah, they had to cut the comments off after about 2000. Even Fox News admitted they were offensive, so you can imagine what the content was. But so, you know, the initial race baiting is just sort of awful and disgusting, and then you have the highest echelons of Fox News trying to explain it away. It's really troubling to watch that stuff.
Yeah, I love the what you guys have posted. What do you call a 50th birthday party of a dinner for the dinner for the leader of the free world, held in the Rose Garden, featuring musical performance like by legends like Herbie Hancock and Stevie Wonder? If you're an editor at Fox Nation, you call it a hip hop barbecue.
That
didn't create jobs.
Yeah.
What did that have to do with? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. What was so hip-hoppy that the editor of Fox Nation turned the Rose Garden into the set of Soul Plane? but literally because Jay-Z was there, you know. And I
And then Fox Nation could put a picture of five black men together.
Yes, so right. Yes.
That's all you need. That's the headline.
I love this. In fairness to Fox Nation, Jay-Z was there, and he reportedly played Motown hip-hop 70s, 80s, R&B. By those standards, I suppose we can now call Fox Nation a hip-hop website.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, you know, as usual, your specialty, which is why I love you with the heat of a thousand white hot liberal suns, is not just, you know, you talk about how does so-called conservative journalism, kind of like jumbo shrimp, become so bad, so completely unaccountable. But you say the mainstream media should also shoulder some of the responsibility for allowing the right-wing press to just lie without consequence.
Yeah, they do it all the time. And look, this goes back to Spiro Agnew, four decades of liberal media bias. And we've talked about, well, what if you're in the press and you're spooked by that charge, how do you prove that you're not liberal? Well, you sort of bend over backwards and to be nice to Republicans. So that leads to the glorious news coverage during the run-up to the war, for instance, in Iraq. But in much smaller ways, you go out of your way to sort of protect and defend awful journalism by conservatives. And the example I point to there was the Washington Post ombudsman, who wrote a column about Jennifer Rubin, who's a conservative blogger at the Washington Post. After the Norway shooting, she rushed online to suggest it was Al-Qaeda. And then she made this bizarre argument why the Norway shootings prove we shouldn't cut the defense budget, which is incredibly offensive. But her main point was, these are, more Islamic terrorists, which turned out to be 100% false. And so she got a lot of heat, and the ombudsman wrote the column, which he should have done, because that's what you do when people on your staff fall down. But he spent at least half the column, chastising Rubin's critics, or basically trying to come up with excuses for her.
Right.
And again, I mean, this is the classic example of the mainstream press sort of coddles conservative journalists and looks the other way when they make monumental errors. And if we turned it around.
That's my favorite, the way you ended it. If a liberal Post blogger had rushed to judgment in the wake of a horrendous political killing spree and said, oh, it was a Tea Party member, right? That, and proved to be completely wrong, they wouldn't have a job.
They wouldn't have a job 12 hours later. And yet here was the Washington Post ombudsman. Yes, she made a mistake, but I talked to her. She's really nice. She's really, she believes in what she says, and liberals are so mean to her. You should have seen the emails, although I'm not going to quote any. And a lot of people got the Norway story wrong, although, again, I'm not going to quote anyone who got it as wrong as she did. So Eric Altman wrote a great column about this, and it really just proves there's this deficiency inside these mainstream news organizations that are so committed to being associated with far right-wing media figures so they can prove they're not liberal, and then when these people fall down on the job, they sort of clean up the mess.
Yeah, well, as you say, being part of the conservative media means never, ever having to say you're sorry.
They
get caught in a lie, and they just move on to the next one. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing. Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday on the S&P downgrade.
In its announcement, S&P condemned the political dysfunction here in Washington, the gridlock here in Washington. Let's put up what they said. The political brinksmanship of recent months highlights what we see as America's governance and policymaking becoming less stable, less effective, and less predictable than what we previously believed. I mean, what they seem to be saying, and there's no question that if they had passed your budget, that would have solved the debt problem.
He's talking to, was he talking to
Paul Ryan?
Right. So
that's not what S&P said.
Not at all. It's the opposite of what they said.
Opposite of what S&P said. S&P has come under a lot of fire, and I think justifiably so, why they're doing this, the errors they made. But if you read their argument beyond the political, which, I mean, beyond what Chris Wallace mentioned, they clearly lay the blame at the feet of the Republicans and the policies they were pushing.
Yep.
And look, if the Bush tax cuts had been rescinded, for instance, no way this downgrade would have happened. I mean, you can go down the list in terms of what the Tea Party and the Republicans have been pushing, and those policies are exactly why we got this downgrade.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Greta Van Susteren on the press.
Many people are pointing fingers at President Obama. They say his economic policies are failing us and that he bungled the debt ceiling debate. But what do the people who want to take over the White House think of the deal? And what would they do if they were in the Oval Office?
She somehow didn't mention the 82% disapproval rating of the Republican House of Representatives.
Yeah, and she wasn't alone. I mean, last week I think the press did a pretty bad job. I mean, Politico did a pretty good article about some of the polling numbers. I mean, they were, for a press corps obsessed with polling and who's up and who's down, every poll last week showed the Republicans in the House were the clear, unequivocal loser in the debt.
Yeah.
But Greta's talking out the other side of her mouth now.
Oh, Jim.
Yeah, the approval rating for Congress, Boehner's ratings, the Tea Party rating, which was down to 18% in a New York Times poll. Across the board, the Republicans and the Tea Party got shellacked in the polling. But the press, I don't think did a very good job explaining that. And in fact, for a few days, Boehner was supposed to be the big winner in this whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, and well, Eric, this is what you and I always talk about. That I just feel like I want to stay in my Eric Bullard cocoon all the time because I'm going, the mainstream media is getting it wrong. It's like, this is not a huge victory for Republicans, and that's what makes me crazy. You can expect that on Fox News. Anyway, and then the polling comes out the opposite, and then where's that story, right?
Yeah, exactly. And again, in the last week, again, there was lots of talk about Obama, down in the Gallup polls, et cetera, which is fine. I mean, it's completely factual. Then the New York Times CBS poll comes out, the biggest mainstream poll since the debt crisis. Oh, Obama's unchanged at 48%. That goes right down the memory hole.
Yeah.
Doesn't fit the message.
Exactly. Steve Ducey on Fox and Friends.
You know, President Obama blaming everything from natural disasters to Republicans in Congress for our lousy economy. He has also blamed Bush. He's blamed the tsunami. He's blamed the weather. Don't be surprised if later today he blames ground turkey.
What? I love that morning show humor, Eric.
Oh, he's talking about the food.
Salmonella thing. And just this morning, Dana Perino was on Fox saying, I'm getting really annoyed with the Obama White House blaming Bush, and they can't do this for the re-election next year. Again, I think it was the Washington Post poll. In terms of who do people blame for the economy, it was like 52% Bush, 20% Obama. I mean, it's not even close. This is, as I mentioned, this is like the 18th poll that has shown the exact same thing. The American people are incredibly consistent in terms of who they blame for the trouble we find ourselves in. And it's overwhelmingly Bush.
Yeah.
But when people point that out, Fox News sort of freaks out.
Well, then the American people have been eating too much ground turkey.
But David Plouffe made this point, I think, this weekend, Eric, and that's exactly right. No one's claiming the economy is great or the president's in, the greatest shape poll-wise. But, he also says consistently the American people do not want to go back to these policies that got us here in the first place. So,
they're very clear in terms of whose fault this is. I mean, it drives Republicans crazy, and I don't think it's good for any political party to run on, it's the other guy's fault 3 or 4 years later. But you cannot argue with the polls. Everyone says exactly the same thing.
Yep, exactly. Eric Bowler remains in the sidecar. We continue Right Wing World 18 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Eric Bollert rejoins us to finish up Right Wing World. All right. Rush Limbaugh on the debt ceiling.
Who is more addicted than Democrats and their addiction to spending?
and their addiction to taxing. But what's the bottom line here? The left thinks people who want to cut back on government spending are delusional, even crazy.
Yes.
Now, how crazy is that? Didn't Obama and the Democrats just hold a gun to the American economy and demand $2.4 trillion for their spending habit?
Wow. We're in pineapple upside down world, Eric.
I mean, Obama was quite clear that he was more than willing to do massive spending cuts in the way no other Democratic president ever has. But, you know, this is what happens when, you know, remember Boehner was on the phone with Limbaugh. I mean, this is who he's talking to. So Obama's offering massive cuts, and Boehner is counseling with someone who's saying, you know, Democrats won't make any cuts. So that's the kind of world that... you know, that the Democrats have to deal with.
Yeah.
They're being run by Rush Limbaugh.
This is how why I knew the Obama, the Democrats didn't lose, because Rush Limbaugh hated this deal.
Well, so did those at Gallup poll. 65% of Tea Party supporters don't like this deal.
Yeah. No, exactly. That's who you're quote-unquote trying to negotiate with.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I mentioned earlier, Eric, but I have to mention that Michelle Bachmann this weekend said of the debt, you know, the debt crisis, she said it happened on your watch, Mr. President, the downgrade. Yes, largely because of Tea Party crazies like her.
Yeah,
we're rooting for default. She blamed the downgrade. It happened on your watch. Look what you did.
Well, that's the thing. That's the bind that sort of Obama and the White House are in. I mean, they're under criticism for not negotiating well, et cetera, et cetera, and that's totally legitimate. But, I mean, in a way, you know, they didn't want to have this massive default, and so in a way they had to go along, I think, with some of the Tea Party crazies. So then they adopt these policies, and then the Tea Party turns around and say, you're crazy for adopting our policies.
Exactly.
And there was also a very odd video over the weekend that the Think Progress had of a Tea Party rally in Wisconsin cheering the news of the downgrade, which I think really tells you all you need to know.
Well, thank you. I'm cheering America losing the Olympics.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Yeah. It's Obama derangement syndrome.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We'll get to that. I want to finish up right-wing world. But this is, I was going to end with this, is Fox rooting for a double-dip recession. It talks
of course.
You know, Fox Nation, you know, it talks about them posting. They're not fans of the New York Times, but, of course, they post something that it's almost like they're so hopeful that things will get worse.
Oh, they want high unemployment. They want a debt downgrade. They want all these things because this sort of economic ruin is the only path they have back to power. So we've entered this sort of sad new chapter in American history where you just openly, you don't root against your opponent, you root against the country while your opponent is in the White House. And
that's
really amazing.
That's the other layer. It's hard to, you know, to miss the racism layer of what Pat Buchanan said, but the fact that he called the president your boy, Al Sharpton, it's like, you know, beside the racism, right? It's like, you know, apparently it's not our president anymore.
There does seem to be an impossible to hide level of
condescension.
Yeah. Incredible
or
condescension. That's on display. The Wall Street Journal editorial page, Pat Buchanan, everyone feels incredibly comfortable on the right talking down to Obama.
Yeah, and there is condescension, too. probably. It's getting steamy inside the Fox racist bubble. All right, Sean Hannity.
Why should they require it by law?
If people want
to engage in activity, at what point do we say people have got to be responsible for their own behavior?
This is about women's health. If you care about women's health,
it's not about women's health. It's about birth control. This is about women's birth control. Stop expecting other people to be responsible for every minute aspect of your life in this nanny state that you want to create.
But why should we pay for a man's Viagra?
Is a medical problem versus a choice to have sex.
Oh, I see.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
That involves a... That's important. All right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it was so shocking to actually hear anyone call Sean Hannity on anything. And when we have those opportunities, we get these great punchlines like him, descending Viagra as a medical condition.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Greg Gutfeld and Bob Beckel on The Five.
The only problem with talking about Sarah Palin is that she works here,
and it's like a coworker, and if I say something bad and I see her in the hallway, I feel really awkward and wrong. So I just kind of say, that was a good job.
It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with your paycheck. That's why you feel awkward about it. I know exactly what you mean. I mean, many times, I'll be honest, I've pulled my punches on it.
Oh, wow. Did someone on Fox News?
Hello.
Yeah.
And, of course, the next day, they all came back and said, oh, it was a big joke.
Right.
We were just kidding. But, yeah, a couple people accidentally told the truth on Fox last week, and it was illuminating, I think.
Huh. It's almost like, was there some sort of mission they don't hire hard-hitting liberals to combat? Huh. You're required in some way to ameliorate what you're thinking. Interesting. All right, Eric Bollert, who is in my life. All right, see you next week, Eric.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, for Media Matters. There he goes.
I'm surprised you didn't call him honey.
Thank you so much.
Oh, boy.
29 minutes after the hour.
Get a room.
Mm-hmm. I'm the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Partaking of the grape, were we?
Just a little Merle.
Oh, me. This weekend. Oh, Jim, do not go drinking with Ice, Tyler.
I heard.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800. You know, she was, spending those big bags of cash she got from selling boogity woody t-shirts. Anyway, sexyliberal.com. We'll get some pictures up later today.
Should be boogity boogity booze.
Yeah.
Well, great time was had by all in Santa Fe, including Chris. Hey, good morning, Chris in Santa Fe.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I'm the guy that I was sitting in the center of the second row,
you
really smooched me on the lip.
Yeah, and I remember.
It was pretty intense, and my wife was sitting there right next
sure.
to me.
Awesome. Oh, boy. Awesome. Magic for her, too. Okay.
Well,
all right, Chris.
Well, should have kissed her, too.
Yeah, probably. Thanks for coming out, Chris. We had a great time.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was an amazing night. And my wife is totally cool with it.
Awesome.
Because you and Aisha are like two of her biggest heroes in the world.
Aw, awesome. All right, well, it's a four-way then. Thank you, Chris.
It was awesome, but I got to tell you that my wife has put me on quarantine for a week because she's afraid with all of the air travel that you do.
Yes.
And all the people that you presumably kiss.
Yes. No, you're the only one.
I'm the only one.
The only one for me, Chris.
Oh, that's fantastic.
My friend Charlie would beg to differ, Stephanie.
Shush! Oh, yeah, that guy. All right, that guy.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Uh-huh.
Slut. Look at her, slut.
Yeah.
All right.
My friend Charlie and his partner John.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was, listen, you know
what?
What happens in Santa Fe stays in Santa Fe. Those two can just hush.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? If you like your comedy a little more brilliant with a little less sleaze, then you'll probably want to get it from Paula Poundstone, my friends. Good morning, Paula Poundstone.
I'm in shock hearing what I've heard. Shock, I tell you.
Listen, I am not a brilliant award-winning comedian like you. I basically, my act consists of just groping and kissing people.
Wow. He's on quarantine, for God's sake. When is on quarantine? That's such an official word.
So you got a gig coming up.
This was in Santa Fe this took place?
This was on the Santa Fe Sexy Liberal Show. Aisha Tyler, John Fugelsang, and I did a little show in Santa Fe this weekend.
Santa Fe?
Yes.
It's kind of laid back. It's, it's a lot of Native American jewelry.
Yes. Well, this weekend it was a filthy den of iniquity. That's what it was.
You guys got a little carried away with the old peace pipe.
If you like your comedy of the more brilliant kind, Paula Poundstone will be at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills Saturday, August 13th, correct?
August 13th, yes.
And you can go to Paula Poundstone. I'm just getting the plugs out of the way. PaulaPoundstone.com for your entire tour schedule. Obviously this is the stuff of legend, but how much would you say of your act is just you just are riffing with the audience, right? You do like a go ahead.
Why would this be the stuff of legend?
Because you are a legend.
No. What happened in Santa Felipe is the stuff of legend. That's the story that's going to get told for generations.
Yeah, yeah.
Parents cautioning their children. About a third, probably on a good night.
Yeah.
And I like to think many of the nights are good. And, you know, for me, I can't speak for the audience. It's not my place.
Yeah.
But probably about a third. I do the time-honored, where are you from, what do you do for a living? And in this way, you know, little bios of the audience emerge.
Right. Yeah, it's like Biography Channel of the audience. It's spectacular.
It is Biography Channel of the audience, except there's very few reenactments. and I love the audience. They're the most fun of the whole thing. The individuals that comprise the whole, and the whole, by the way, is greater than the sum of its parts. It's really something so cool about a group of people who've come out to laugh for the night. There really is. There's a magic in it. I go about trying to, find the elements, you know, discover the elements that make that so.
Right. It's hard not to make comedy out of the Republican field thus far. Isn't it for 2012?
Out of the Republican field? Is that what you said?
Yes, yes.
I'm not all that familiar with them, I'll be honest. I don't know. I find that, as a general rule, quite honestly, part of the reason we have this party system is that the Republicans are much more entertaining.
Yeah, they really are. If you've seen the cover of Newsweek of Michelle Bachmann, apparently that's the picture she approved. But she just could not look crazier. Yeah.
I haven't seen it. Well, no, but Newsweek is doing a thing where they use licensed photos.
Yeah, something like that.
It's almost unfair to to mock Michelle Bachmann over the photo that Newsweek selects, because you know, as magazines get more and more desperate, they're using stranger and stranger criteria. I will say, by the way, Oprah was on the cover of Oprah magazine this month.
What?
No. You don't say.
What? Has that ever happened before?
I was blown away. Boy, and she's been so reclusive.
Actually, speaking of comedy. Speaking of comedy and politics, our friend Roseanne Barr apparently is going to run for president. She told.
Oh, is she?
Yes. She told Leno.
That's great.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
On a particular ticket, I mean, is she independent? Is she green? Is she...
Yeah, I think she's independent, is what she's saying.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Oh, that is great. Because not since Ross Perot has somebody really come out with the card tables, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure she'll have her own sort of graphs and charts and things. But, you know, that's the thing.
Who's the guy whose son is in the Senate now, and or is he in the Congress? I can't remember. And he,
Ron Paul?
He's only running because he still has posters up from 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she means Ron Paul.
Ron Paul, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean Ron Paul. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he still
he's
has that blimp?
Running.
Yeah, well, you can save money.
He still has the posters. His posters are still up. And even before, I mean, even 4 years ago, it was unimaginable how people got the posters in the places that they got the posters.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he had one on a ship in a bottle.
Everything seems like a replay. Like, I don't know if you saw Governor Rick Perry of Texas had this little prayer palooza yesterday, but it's another governor from Texas that thinks God wants him to be president. Literally, there were people there that said, God is calling Rick Perry. And I'm going, how could anything go wrong with that? Governor from Texas that thinks God wants a new president.
Well, you know what, though? A lot of times people think God is calling.
Yes.
And it turns out it was someone else.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's a prank call. You know, God can get the wrong number as easily as the next guy. And God doesn't always have good reception.
Yes.
Let's face it. You know, God uses AT&T. I'll tell you something. Back when when they had the governor's conference, I happened to be stuck in a hotel room and therefore watched a lot of C-SPAN, and I saw, and prior to that I didn't even know there was a governor's conference, but I happened to be stuck in a hotel and there it was. And so that was the first time I saw Rick Perry. He was in some sort of breakout session, that I watched, on C-SPAN, and, as near as I could tell, the people in Texas use a different system of selecting their governor. I don't think they voted for that.
You're right. Well, they do have an.
Happened,
yeah, go ahead. They do
I
have
think a, that they have a banquet, and whoever has a black spot on the bottom of their plate,
is the one. Yes, he's the one.
Becomes governor. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
There's not like a lot of work involved, from what I've told. Chris, isn't the legislature meets what, like twice a year or something?
Yeah, yes. Something like
yes.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, is that true for the governor? It's not a lot of work.
It's not. It's a very weak governor of system of government they have in Texas.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And this year, because of the budget cuts, it also includes light housekeeping.
So were you following this whole debt ceiling crisis? I mean, that's the problem is, you know, there's comedy, but these Tea Party crazies really almost drove us to, you know, we've been downgraded by S&P. They've almost driven us to worldwide financial catastrophe.
You know what? You're putting more of a negative spin on it than you think. Yeah, I have a couple of feelings. My first one is that I don't think the people who set, you know, the value, should be from an organization with the name Poor in it. That's
good just, point.
That's just common sense.
Right.
By the way.
Yes.
You know, I was under the impression that this whole debt ceiling skirmish was, that the phrase debt ceiling, this was, you know, the first time that it had been used. As it turns out, they raised the debt ceiling, you know, pretty much every...
All the time, yes.
Yeah, since, by the way, like George Washington or something. I mean, for like a really, really long time, it's just sort of apparently a part of the process, which I didn't realize. I mean,
right.
I thought it was somehow this new thing.
Yeah, since
they normally do it. Apparently, they normally do it sort of no fuss, no muss.
Yeah, since wooden nickels. You're exactly right.
Yeah, and this time it was sort of brought to the forefront, I guess particularly by this, what you might call a fringe element, which has come to refer to itself as the Tea Party. The weird thing about the Tea Party, I think, is that they refer to themselves as the Tea Party, which I think is really a stretch to take a name that obviously comes from, a cherished, beloved revolutionary element during a time when, you know, we were ruled by a king.
Yeah.
And so there was an uprising that, you know, was, you know, that dealt with that. I think it's really arrogant to take the name the Tea Party.
Right.
But those guys did it on their own. The rest of us started calling them that. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
They
called themselves teabaggers, and then they got mad at us when we called them teabaggers. Because
they figured out what it meant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but originally they were calling themselves. It's like if I call myself the greatest comic of all time.
Yes. True.
You know, because I was a lunatic, and so then everyone else started saying, oh, you know, Paul Pompson, the greatest. You know, I'm going to do that now that I'm
yes.
saying it.
Yes. Well, now it's already been said. Now it's like the king of pop. You are the greatest comedian of all time.
Now it's a brilliant moniker. I think it's really weird how much the rest of the country has sort of bought into what is clearly a group of people that happen to have some sort of mental health problem.
Yes, yes. Well, and as you bring, as you
part of it being dressed that way, they've sort of, you know, more and more banded together and more have gotten some more and more legitimacy. As opposed to being called what it is, even Mark Shields, who I love like Raisin Toast, I remember a couple of years ago when they sort of first came to power, as it were, I remember it's like all these level-headed political analysts weren't sure what to say about it because it was so kind of mind-blowing.
Well,
and everybody got afraid of them. And so they started saying stuff like, the anger is real, instead of saying, you know, these are people that have banded together that have mental health problems.
That have a common mental health. Well, I mean, and as you point out, the original Tea Party was taxation without representation. We actually are at historically low tax rates. So their whole reason for being is just, I think it's just because there's a black guy in the White House. That's essentially what it is,
and
you know.
And I think our rep- representation is fairly good right now.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, you can see the greatest comedian of all time, Paula Poundstone, at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills Saturday, August 13th, and find out her whole schedule at paulapoundstone.com, which later today will be changed to Paula Poundstone, the greatest comedian of all time.com. Paula Poundstone.
I'm hoping that everybody picks up on it.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll become a thing.
Exactly.
And cowers before it.
Paula Poundstone, greatest comic of all time. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for calling and talk to you soon.
It was so nice talking to you. Thank you very much.
I am very lucky. Thank you very much for the greatest comedian of all time, ladies and gentlemen, Paula Poundstone. All right.
I think she's already regretting that.
Yeah.
47 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now, 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Moments away from Mondays with McClurg. Edie McClurg joins us live in studio. Let's go to Jim in Seattle. Hi, Jim. Hi, Jim. Hello, Jim.
How's it going? Hello.
Yes,
hello.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, Stephanie, here's what bothers me again. I see in the media, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This thing about how Obama held hostage, and now we have the S&P lower rating. The problem is the Republicans, just like they did with the FAA thing recently, holding the budget hostage because they want to break the union. And then they're the ones that brought in things that don't even have issues with the budget to the tax cuts they wanted. They want to get rid of the big three and privatize them. Every time there's an issue, the White House gets blamed, and it's the Republicans that are holding everybody hostage. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that will not agree to anything. And here's something, too, Steffi. You and I have had a birthday party before. Obama is a human being. Now, it's okay for John Boehner to go out and go to the golf course every other day and
drink
the bar, the Dean Martin of the Speaker of the House, yet Obama has a birthday party as a human being, and now we're attacking for it.
Yeah, that's the running, stupid story on Fox. The president apparently can't do anything because, the economy. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And the worst thing, Stephanie, is these guys want to lower the wages of the working class people, yet you're hearing about OfficeMax might go out of business, JCPenney, Sears.
Mm-hmm. Right. And by the way, it shows their hypocrisy again. They just had this whole fight over the deficit and fiscal conservatives. You know how much this is costing us every week, this FAA shutdown? I mean, putting how many people out of work when they keep saying, where are the jobs?
Well, the shutdown was averted, but it's only for a month. We're going to have this exact same fight again when Congress comes back in September.
I am exhausted by this. But these right-wing douche nozzles, I am exhausted. All right. We were talking about this with Eric Bowler. Again, I don't even think it's subtle at this point. Is Fox rooting for a double-dip recession?
Yeah.
It really is. When Rush Limbaugh's of the world go on record saying, I want him to fail, it's like that is saying...
saying you want the country to
fail. Yes. Yes. So here is the... this is from... where is it? It's Media Matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fox News website Fox Nation posted the headline, New York Times Double Dip May Be Back. It's eye-catching because Fox, not known for its love of the New York Times.
Yeah.
But they'll quote anything if it seems to make their case. Yeah. It's even more interesting than that. Times piece reports there was general political disagreement that it was incumbent on the government to fight back by stimulating the economy. It did, and the recession ended. While economists generally do agree that the stimulus helped the economy, Fox Nation most definitely does not. Furthermore, the Times even suggests that more stimulus would revive growth. In any other cycle, they're quoting here, the recent spate of poor economic news would have resulted in politicians vying with one another to propose programs to revive growth. President Obama has called for more spending on infrastructure, but there appears to be little chance Congress will take any action. The focus in Washington is now on deciding where to reduce spending, not increase it. This, again, is the thesis that Fox most definitely does not agree with. Why would Fox be pushing a New York Times article that discusses the benefits of the stimulus? Could it be because Fox is rooting for a double-dip recession and is happy that the Times predicts that one might occur?
Robert Reich.
By following Republican policies.
Robert Reich calls it the Republicans' double-dip recession and what must be done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, also on Fox News, apparently Sarah Palin invented the bus tour.
What?
And the president is copying her now by going on a bus tour.
Because
no one's ever gotten on a bus, ever, any politician in the history of America, ever.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, except for Paul Revere. That's how he...
You're right.
You know,
wasn't a horse. They're shooting the guns
around
the bells.
Before
he had to warn the British.
Before buses were invented, politicians famously got on the backs of trains. You know,
well, they
were on cabooses.
They
Cabooseye.
Were luxury
Cabooseye?
Buses.
Cabooseye?
Kabuki.
According to Fox, Nation, Obama's trip later this month copies Palin. She went on a short bus tour. However, the photo included in Fox Nation's post shows Obama stepping off a campaign bus during his 2008 presidential run.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Which he was...
He was copying,
because he knew that she probably would do it at some point.
That was before she even got into the race for vice president.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's dumb.
By the way, numerous sitting presidents and presidents going back to actually JFK in history have launched bus tours. Wow. Okay, then. Let's go to Julie in Albuquerque. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Julie.
Hey, Stephanie. Thank you so much for coming to Santa Fe. I really enjoyed your show at the Lenswick.
Thank you, honey. We had an awesome time.
It was a great evening show. You've got to come to Albuquerque. And
we will.
I want to apologize for the stupid questions, but it was the two shots of tequila and my friends that made me ask stupid questions.
Well, we were all drunk, and at least
so
you weren't the person. Thank you.
Huh?
I said at least you weren't the person that made me put on a thong. So, you know what? You had...
Oh, no. That was not me. No, it was me.
Yeah.
Okay. But you're quite informative. Your show is very, very enjoyable and informative, and I love the twist, the comedic end of it.
Thank you, Julie. And by the way, it's always better with tequila. Trust me, that's a little tip for you. Everything's better with tequila. Oh, maybe we'll play the tequila ad next in honor of the Santa Fe show.
Maybe we just got a new sponsor.
Yeah. Patron.
Patron. 58. Hey, Andre. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back, Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Thank you, Santa Fe. I'm recovering from my week-long bender with Aisha Tyler and John Fugelsang in Santa Fe. What a crowd. What a night. And, yes, most people were drunk on tequila, and we highly recommend it.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately. And with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. It's a major factor in dancing like a retard. May cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 in the morning. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy. And it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
Hey. All right, and that sums up Saturday night in Santa Fe. Boy. Thank you, everybody. And coming up next, I guess we should warn you in advance.
Start your engines, Detroit, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA.
Can't forget the Motor City.
On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full-torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy tee.
I want to get back to Michigan and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
Yay! And you know what? This fun just keeps on rolling.
Sounds like
Monday.
Somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
With McClure.
Monday. Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore
Edie McClurg.
But enough about the Republican Congress. Good morning, Edie McClurg. Some man in Santa Fe was professing his love for you to me in a very inappropriate way. He loves you in a
Was he deeply
it's between
in,
you
his,
and him.
In his cups at the time, perhaps?
Like most of us, yes. However, his love seems sincere for you.
It's so good that I don't go on these little trips with you. My goodness.
We can barely control you in the studio, for God's sakes. I don't even know what it would be like to
me
have you.
Me and my mint tea, we're wild.
Ah, Lord. I like you because you're positive and bubbly and for instance, Scott in New Jersey wrote me, Charlie Pierce, I love, one of our other guests, just gotten to be a bit of an Obama naysayer. And it's, and I'm just saying, I think I pointed out to him, he has been wrong on occasion, and Scott in New Jersey reminded me when. Steph, last winter, Charlie Pierce came on and said, don't ask, don't tell repeal was dead in the water. Blamed it on the president, racking it up as another failed promise. So when it happened, Charlie came back on and said it was Congress, not Obama, who did it, and Obama gets no real credit. So Charlie and others, if you're willing to blame Obama for something that goes against you and refuse to give him credit when something you like happens, you belong in right wing world. I'll
and you've
say
never
that.
You've never been wrong about
no.
anything.
No,
oh,
not at all.
I don't believe I have.
Uh-huh.
Prove it to me.
Yeah, read the
selective memory.
David Sirota article, the Bizarro FDR.
And then, the Bizarro FDR.
Mm. Yeah.
Well,
never mind it.
I don't agree with him.
You haven't read it, and you still don't agree.
No. Just another reason. Anyway, let's...
Contempt prior to investigation?
But I don't know what you're talking about. Most people agree with me. Disapproval of the Republican House of Representatives at a record 82%, according to the latest New York Times CBS poll. It's... this is, by the way, Jim... All right, I'm going to do a guess. But with you now, so there, ha! Huh? And I just think this is good strategy moving forward now. We have to move forward now, right, Edie?
Yes, we do.
Thank you. Who said Democrats will have exactly one chance to overcome the Republicans' resistance to tax revenue? Next year, the Bush tax cuts expire. If Congress does nothing, we revert to Clinton-era tax rates for everyone, and the federal coffers fill with $3.6 trillion in additional revenue over the next 10 years, enough to stabilize deficits. This is a rare opportunity in which it's Democrats who hold the hostage and Republicans who have to compromise. Who said that?
Eugene Robinson.
No, that was a good guess, though. Ezra Klein, or as I like to call him, Urza.
Urza Klein, yeah.
In the Washington Post. But this was someone else I quoted last week that,
well,
that thought this deal was...
Would they let it, expire, please?
Well, this is one of the people that had a very positive view of what the president did and of this deal, because we will be in a different position when this happens. So
prone.
No. Bend over. We'll drive you home.
He's incorrigible, Jim Warren. It's his inherent scampiness that I love. Jim, who said, but Democrats have another option. Just as Republicans planted a trigger for 2011 that ensures spending cuts, Democrats should use the Bush tax cuts as the trigger in 2012 to force revenues, which is not to say they should campaign for raising taxes. They should campaign against an outdated, ineffective, unfair tax code, as well as the Washington way of leaving hard problems for somebody else to handle. Who said that?
John Nance Garner.
Wow.
No. Ezra Klein, once again in the Washington Post yesterday. Okay. Finally, who said the White House should announce that it won't extend any of the Bush tax cuts and will instead insist on a Gang of Six-esque plan that cleans the code, lowers rates for everyone, and raises $2 trillion or more in revenue? If the GOP refuses, The tax cuts will expire, our revenue problems will be solved, and Republicans will suddenly find themselves much more interested in tax reform. Sometimes to govern like a Democrat, you need to negotiate like a Republican. Who said that?
Warren Harding.
No! Ezra Klein with some very good advice. Just saying. Edie, it was just exhausting, wasn't it? The debt ceiling crisis. They always put us in crisis. There's always a... right up to the last second.
Yes, of course, because...
it's exhausting.
Because of the wonderful things he does.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just, I'm sure you've worked with people like that, know people like that, that are always, you know, there needs to be a lot of drama, a lot of... crisis all the time, and
that's you, actually.
What?
That is.
No.
Yes.
That's the wrong analogy. Senator John Kerry.
I believe this is, without question, the Tea Party downgrade. This is the Tea Party downgrade because a minority of people in the House of Representatives countered even the will of many Republicans in the United States Senate, who were prepared to do a bigger deal, to do $4.7 trillion, $4 trillion, have a mix of reductions and reforms in Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, but also recognize that we needed to do some revenue.
I mean, S&P said that. You know, Edie, they come out and said it's the Republicans. It's their intransigence on taxes of any kind, which you cannot, as Ezra Klein says, you just can't do the math any other way.
Michelle Bachmann says it's on his watch.
Yeah, the downgrade happened. It was President Obama's fault.
Well,
because it happened on his watch.
60-70% of Americans agree that jobs are more important than the debt ceiling debacle.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
67% of Americans agree that we should raise taxes on the wealthiest in a crisis like this. Mm-hmm. And we are not being represented.
Well, and that's what I'm saying, part of this mainstream media, too. It's this Tea Party story became such a big story. And, people want, cutting of the deficit. And it's not what people care about. It's anyway.
We need to raise taxes on the wealthy.
Yep.
To Clinton
era
levels.
Leave the social safety net alone.
Responsible drawdown of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and invest in public infrastructure
exactly.
to combat unemployment.
Yeah, put tens of thousands of people to work for a long time trying to fix the infrastructure.
By the way, you can tell the Tea Party is getting nervous. We have a big election coming up, tomorrow in Wisconsin, which is really ground zero for all this. For workers' rights, for this, attack on unions, Tea Party Nation? He's there. Let's see. Founder of Tea Party. Oh, Judson Phillips, that guy. Founder of Tea Party Nation. So the election tomorrow in Wisconsin, he appeared in Wisconsin to rally support, of course, for the Republicans. He warned his Tea Party supporters of the threat of liberalism. He said, "I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I detest and despise everything the left stands for. How can anybody endorse and embrace an ideology that has killed a billion people in the last century is beyond me."
Right.
Huh?
Liberals are the same as Nazis.
This comes the day after Phillips compared liberals in Wisconsin to Nazi stormtroopers.
Yeah,
Schmucky?
Who?
Vince Schmucky? Is that really his name?
That sounds like it.
Vince Schmucky. He's a leader of a Patriot Tea Party group. He suggested that the effort to recall Republicans by Wisconsin Democrats was like a terrorist attack. He said, "This is ground zero. We have been attacked." So you see, it's the other way around. It's not that workers are being attacked. They're a Nazi terrorist, apparently.
Yeah, because liberals are just like Nazis.
Yeah, exactly.
So where did you get your history degree exactly?
Getting a little skosh bit nervous what might happen in Wisconsin tomorrow. Tim in Michigan with today's something weird that Edie was on that someone saw 1,000 years ago. Tim in Michigan.
Hi, Steph.
Tim.
Hello, Steph and the MOOC.
Hi, go ahead. You're on with Edie.
And Edie, hi. Actually, I'm in Michigan by way of San Francisco.
Okay.
And I'd like to be the official beekeeper of the Stephanie Miller Show.
The
official urban beekeeper.
Awesome. Awesome. That's so fried green tomatoes.
It is. It's very, very green.
Go ahead.
Yes, very green. And I'm calling in with an obscure Edie McClurg television sighting.
Okay.
She was on the Richard Pryor sketch comedy show he had, short-lived.
Wow. There were four episodes of that.
Wow.
Okay.
That is the most random Edie McClurg fun fact we've heard yet.
Yes, it was when they the final episode had Richard coming out, and he was, we did four episodes, and he wanted to appear, in effect, emasculated in his opening of the first show. So he had them cover his man parts.
Yes.
And NBC just got so frightened they canceled us.
Well, we
had four shows.
We will not allow Richard Pryor to appear. That's it. We draw a line in the sand there. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue with more rollicking Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
In the whole damn town, better than old King Kong, meaner than a junkyard dog.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Keith in Minneapolis with an even weirder Edie McClurg fun fact. Hello, Keith.
Good morning, everyone.
Yes.
Normally, I would be listening in the afternoon on my yearly StephCast.
Yes.
But since I knew Edie would be on this morning, I wanted to bring this up. Minneapolis Star Tribune crossword puzzle, 9 across.
Mm-hmm.
The clue was Falco and McClurg.
Oh,
I'm up there with Edie Falco. That's all right. It used to be Edie Adams.
Uh-huh.
And then
now, of course, I didn't get any of the down answers, so no thanks.
But see, I do have three vowels in my name,
yes,
which is helpful.
Makes you very popular.
And it's only four.
Crossword
puzzle. Right.
I don't think Box Wine Radio Slag has ever been in any crossword puzzle, so I. All right, Dennis, my right wing love muffin in South Carolina. Hello, Dennis.
Hey guys, hey Stephanie. I heard your commercial a while ago about coming to Asheville. You should do pretty good there. That is a liberal bastion of this area down here. So
yes, yes.
Y'all,
why don't you good? Thank you for just dismissing an entire town.
No, a bunch of smart people down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Asheville's awesome. It's
Asheville is a nice area. I mean, it is.
Thank you.
I want two quick points real quick. One is,
I'm sorry, I'm sensitive. I remember my brother's snotty Republican friend once said, I'm sure your show does very well in Asheville. They're all, I'm like, that's nice.
Yeah, that's
thank you. Thank you. Asheville's awesome. Anyway, go ahead, Dennis.
The way the left rolls out their talking points right now, it's almost getting comical. But yesterday with John Kerry and David Axelrod both coming out on the Sunday talk shows talking about the Tea Party downgrade, Chuck Schumer's been called on the telephone giving out orders saying that's what it was 2 months ago saying this is what I was told to call the Tea Party extremists. I mean, it's comical now. It's just, can they not speak on their own? Does everything have to be a talking point?
Dennis, Standard & Poor made several very pointed comments about the lack of revenue. That is the major reason for the downgrade, and that is, you know, you can lay that squarely at the Republicans' feet.
Well, no, they also said that enough spending cuts wasn't in the even 2 weeks before an agreement was made. They
right,
said
but that we that agreed to spending cuts. The Republicans agreed to nothing on revenue. So
well, because it was tax revenue. I mean, because you wanted tax increases.
Yes.
Why do you want to
from
tax
historic
people?
Lows? Yes.
Well, why do you?
The job creators tax the job creators. Is that what you're saying?
91% was a tax rate in 1960. Is that what you want to go back to?
It's not. No one's proposing that.
No, no one is proposing that, Dennis. That's the problem. We are at historically low tax rates, and there's a reason why the vast majorities of the American people want the top 2% to pay their fair share, and that is what would balance this deficit largely.
Well, what I'm trying to say is 50%.
They don't want a Medicare and Social Security cut. You know, I mean,
50% of Americans pay zero federal taxes, and you want to go after the remaining 50% that are contributing. That I don't see how that helps the economy.
What do you mean go after? Oh dear God! All right, I have a headache in my eye.
50%? What?
See, this is what I can't continue once it goes to that.
Bogus math.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Well, you want to raise taxes on the 57% of people who are making more money than the other 92.
I like that it's framed as going after people to just pay their fair share, like the rest of us.
Anybody who lives in America pays taxes, whether it's through sales taxes or taxes, you know, on their property or whatever. Nobody gets away with paying no taxes, so that number is completely false.
Yeah. Lee in Houston on the tax question. Hello, Lee.
Oh, yes, ma'am. No,
yes,
I don't normally listen to much talk radio here, but I was cruising through the Sirius.
Did you like to listen to both sides?
Well, yeah, well, you know, I do.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't understand is I make well over, you know, $250,000 a year, but I work very hard for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I got five kids, here in Houston that I take care of, and we get to do stuff because I work so hard. Mm-hmm. Now, why on God's green earth should I have to pay more of my money to other people that don't do anything? I just don't understand.
I don't understand
why people insist.
How is your money going to people that don't do anything?
Well, point being is, you know, I can roll down. Houston doesn't have any. I can roll down a rich neighborhood next to a poor neighborhood, right? Here in Houston, because we have zoning laws. So it's sort of weird. But I see a lot of those people, they don't do anything. They just sit at home. Why don't they get off and go do
something? So your zoning laws, they should keep those people farther away from you? Is that what's your point about zoning laws?
Well, no. That's what I'm saying. So we live in a wealthier neighborhood right next door. I'm just saying so I can see these people.
Oh, so you can see the poor people up close.
Right. Yeah, right. I don't have to go to the other side of town because Houston is such a strange city in that, you know, we don't have zoning laws. So you can basically do whatever you want, wherever you want.
Well, if you pay more taxes, maybe you could beef up the zoning laws to keep the poor people farther away from you.
No, I don't mind the poor people.
No, you just don't want them that close.
I just don't understand why I should have to give more because they don't do anything. I don't understand any of that.
Because you're not paying your fair share. You are paying historically low tax rates right now.
Okay, well,
everybody is.
Who says it's fair and who says it's what should I be paying then? I don't understand.
Those people are not doing nothing. You're saying that you physically can see everybody.
I think it's confusing Social Security with welfare.
My point is, you know what? There's a lot of people that don't do work. They don't go out and work. You know, I can drive down the road.
See him.
Okay, all right. He can see him. All right. That was odd. He has a visual on them.
Edie. Money, he must have an accountant.
He can see them, so he knows they're not doing anything. Deal. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And you stay away from the frozen food section. Your boobs will harden.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Cindy in Boston. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Edie McClurg.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, Cindy.
Love seeing you in Boston.
Yay, we love Boston.
I was looking up the results of Rick Perry's Prayer Fest yesterday. And it dawned on me that it was really nice of him to gather so many people for prayer and fasting during Ramadan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rick Perry may be a secret Muslim.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Yeah, I spread that rumor.
That wasn't the secret I heard about.
That's the other rumor.
Stephanie and Louise, I'll just say it to myself. All right, let's see. A lot of people want to respond on this tax debate. William in Washington State, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello. Hello, Stephanie and everybody.
Hello. Go ahead.
You guys are a breath of fresh air on an otherwise cloudy Seattle day.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, taxes are our patriotic obligation. It's what we do to be citizens. We pay our taxes in order for the government to take care of us in certain respects like clean air, clean water, nice roads, police, fire, education.
Yes.
If you think that you are above paying taxes or that somehow you don't need to pay taxes, you are a freeloader. Mm-hmm. It's not that you're a conservative. It's not that you're a Republican. You want things for free. You're a spoiled little child.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very good way to put it and a fine American way to put it, may I just say. You're the smartest boy in class.
Well, I see people just sitting around doing nothing, and I'm paying them with my taxes. They're just sitting there high on the hog.
Why do I think that he's just...
Whittling?
You know what? I think that guy has binoculars. I think... Larry, bring me them binoculars again! Damn it, them people doing nothing!
They're sitting around doing nothing.
That I'm paying for.
Well, you ain't doing nothing. You're just looking through binoculars at people.
Shut up, Larry!
So we need to change the zoning.
They're doing nothing.
Gotta change that zoning so I don't have to look at you.
I could be wrong. I could be unfairly playing the race card here, Jim. I'm just saying, I think he means the brown people are too close. There should be some better melanin zoning here.
Some zoning.
I don't.
Sitting on their porch.
This is... I don't.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
I could be totally off base, and I apologize if I am. Just sounded a little...
It did.
Chris, yeah. Chris in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Morning, folks.
Hello.
I just think we should approach this tax revenue talk like a talking point, like the Republicans would. We're not asking richer people to pay more taxes. So we're not even asking them to pay their fair share. We're asking them to stop paying less.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Brian in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, did he just say he had five kids?
Yes.
Well, I don't have any, so I'm subsidizing him and his children.
Yeah.
Seriously, you know what the rate was before the crash? They had a 20-something percent tax rate right before the crash. So we can't all afford our own private roads. We can't afford private police officers. We can't afford private firefighters. So we all put into the pot so everybody can enjoy those benefits.
That's a good point. As you know, I'm a bitter old childless loser, and I feel the same way. Like, what's this stupid school tax thing I'm paying, breeders?
Like food safety.
Clean water. Kai in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah. Hello. Go ahead.
All right. So I got that same Texas guy here we're all talking about. I like when they call it. It makes the show nice and fun.
Yes.
One, why don't they just let Texas go ahead and secede from the nation so we don't have to deal with those people anymore?
Well, if Governor Perry has his way, they would have already.
You know, maybe that's one thing we should let him have his way on.
Yeah.
And two, $250,000 a year isn't really that much. I'm pretty sure it's not the top 2% anyway.
Yeah, well, no, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I don't know why.
We're
talking
really about millionaires and billionaires.
By the way, why is it, Jim, that the right-wing callers always seem to make exactly the amount decided in the talking point?
I listen to both sides enough.
Exactly. I like to listen. I'm not really right or left. I just like to listen to both sides. However, I just happen to have a right-wing talking point handy.
Yeah.
And here it is with the exact number. I am a small business
owner. Well,
that guy
said he had five kids.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, I think
that's
a
sucking off my teat.
Overpopulation there.
You have kids sucking off your teat?
Yeah. Okay. It's not in a good way.
Wow.
Ken in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, thank you. This guy who makes the 250,
yes.
I hate to drag this thing out, but, I mean, he's going to have more tax advantages than the person that works 9 to 5, 40 hours a week.
That's what I said. He must have an accountant.
Yeah, I mean, it's not only that. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff he can write off.
Right.
But, and end up paying fewer taxes than the guy who doesn't have the write-offs. I wanted to say hi to Edie because I saw A River Runs Through It yesterday.
Oh. It's one of the most beautiful films Robert Redford has made.
Yeah.
Sweet Jesus.
What have you done to my boy?
Yeah.
It's a fine dramatic performance by Edie McClurg.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, you have a story you were to. What was the story that you started telling during the break?
Big Sur.
You were teaching an improv class in Big Sur.
Big Sur.
Yes, and there was nakedness involved, which is why we liked it.
Well, we are, myself and my, I and my assistant, who was going to help me with the workshop, it was an improv workshop at Esalen Institute at Big Sur. We arrived late because we had to drive all the way, and so we, instead of going to the evening class, someone else took it over, and we went to the hot tubs. They have these natural hot springs
down
by the ocean level.
Right. Yeah.
And so everybody else was in class, so we put on our swimsuits, and we went into the hot springs. And so we were in there, and a couple came in robes. And they took off their robes, they had nothing on.
Awkward.
Oh, yeah. So my assistant and I, we were looking at one another with very big eyes, and we decided we should maybe leave. And so we got out with our swimsuits on and, you know, put our robes around us and started to walk out. And they said, just as a point of information, there's no swimsuits allowed in these hot tubs.
Oh. Wow.
It's de rigueur to be naked in the hot springs.
Oh, so they just wanted to point out it was you that was being inappropriate.
We were inappropriate.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, with very large eyes, we walked. Thank you very much.
Pardon me. Pardon me
thank
for
you.
Having clothes
bye-bye.
On.
Bye-bye.
All
bye-bye
right.
now.
All right. Goodbye. Slam. All right. Let's go to Ron in Indiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello. Hi, Ron.
Hello, how are you,
good.
Stephanie?
Good, go ahead.
Stephanie, the fellow that called in didn't want to pay any more taxes. Hello, hasn't he been listening to the Republicans? He's supposed to be using his money to create jobs.
Right.
Yeah.
Job
that
creator.
Would solve all the problems.
Yeah,
Stephanie.
Stop having kids.
Yeah, create the jobs for those lazy
stop
people.
Stop having kids and going to Wally World. Create some jobs, you loser.
Breeder.
Sorry. All right. By the way, Chris, could you take your organ out for me in honor of the Prayer Palooza? How many people ended up showing up? I think they sold originally 8,000 tickets for 72,000.
30,000.
Oh, did they show up? Yeah, they bust in some people then.
Yeah,
the anti-gay
bust in 10,
groups. Bust in some homophobes. Good.
And where was that?
The Reliance Stadium in
Houston.
Houston. Yeah. The only it was not. Shall we say well attended? Sexy Liberal Show sold out months and months ago, but yeah, I'm just saying.
Since they're celebrating Ramadan, they could have invited some Muslims.
Yeah. We don't have to bust anybody into the Sexy Liberal, I'm just saying. Governor Perry this week.
Like all of you, I love this country deeply. We pray for our nation's leaders, Lord, for parents, for pastors, for the generals, for governors. I pray there will be families who will welcome God back into their homes.
And happy Ramadan, by the way.
Yes. By the way, somebody was saying that God called him. That was at the rally. That she believes God has called Governor Perry to be. And someone on the live blog said that we think God may have butt-dialed Governor Perry. By mistake. Yeah. It happens. Okay, Rick Perry.
I sincerely pray that our willingness to stand in the public square, to acknowledge the God who made us, will inspire others to open their minds and their hearts to his love.
Mm-hmm. By the way, he said God's agenda is not a political agenda. His agenda is a salvation agenda. He's wise enough not to be affiliated with any political party. However, he is a Republican who's about to jump into the Republican field for president. Holding a prayer event, which is a little kind of separation of church and state-y, not so much. Okay.
His agenda is not a political agenda.
Mm-hmm.
His agenda is a salvation agenda.
Which is why he's going to support me for president.
My point is he wants us to save America from the black guy. My point.
And I want to be president of a country I despise so much, I'm going to secede from it.
Yeah.
Exactly. How does that work? By the way, it was a great piece in the L.A. Times. And Jim, you brought this up. The media storyline seems to always love to be like, oh, the Democrats are in disarray, the president's in trouble, blah. Competing goals, a struggle for GOP. Marriage and abortion stands clash with the push for states' rights. Between the Republicans and the Tea Party and all of that stuff going on, they're in complete disarray. Two values many Republicans hold dear, a smaller federal government and a less permissive society, are colliding as presidential hopefuls try to reconcile their call for empowering the states with their support for federal limits on abortion and gay rights. It's because it's, as usual, a yes.
States
should have the right to promote gay marriage, for example.
Yes, the conflict arises from the extended influence of the Tea Party movement with its crusade for a more circumcised Washington and the longstanding power of social conservatives who play a major role in the GOP nominating process, especially in the early contests in Iowa and South Carolina. It has made for early friction some uncomfortable moments, none more so than for Rick Perry, governor of Texas. Perry, who's apparently edging toward entry into the race, has been among the staunchest supporters of states' rights. As you say, went so far as entertained the notion of Texas leaving the union, and now, you know, this is the problem. They are just hypocritical on all of these issues, and that marriage equality is a big one, right?
The state should have the right to do what I say.
Yeah, that's exactly what they mean. Thank you, Jim. Exactly. And besides, gay people are icky. All right, 45 minutes after the hour.
Only if you're doing it right.
That's, as I pointed out, only if you're doing it right. Mm-hmm. 45 minutes, it's after the hour. Right back. More Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Side effects may include loss of clothing, rug burn, shortness of breath, and sore abdominals the next morning. What in the world is up?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 50 minutes after the hour. Wow! That's the first time I've seen the Michelle Bachman Newsweek cover on the big screen here. Yikes! That is, she's got Marty Feldman eyes. Edie, that is really something.
Somebody told her at one point that if you look, if your eyelids are a little heavy, mm-hmm. that
yeah.
if you open your eyes really wide, then you're not going to look sleepy in your pictures.
Oh.
That's what, and so now she does that thing. And also the wife of some other.
Oh, well, yes. She has no eyelids, we think, because if you had a husband that cheated that much, I would have them surgically removed as well, so yes. as to keep an eye on them 24/7.
Yeah, so but Michelle is doing that in order to not look sleepy or.
Yeah, well, Kristen Yankton has another theory. Guys, I stand corrected. Michelle Bachman does not have crazy eyes like a horse ready to bolt. Those eyes are more hysterical looking, bulging, and showing lots of white as the horse looks around in alarm. Bachman has rapture eyes. You know, that creepy blissed out look that one gets when contemplating the rapture, or like Marcus gets when he finds a great sale on dance belts and capizios.
I like that one better.
Oh, boy. Fabulous.
Dance belts.
Marcus! Stop it! You know the doctor said show tunes are my trigger. Okay.
Blow, Gabriel, blow. Oh. Blow high, blow low, a whaling we will go.
Marcus! I swear to God I will club you to death like a baby seal with your glow stick. I swear to God. Okay. Mary.
And they call the wind Gary. No, Mariah.
I will say I did it in a blackout from my own migraine, but will never convict me. Forgive me, baby Caesar.
Gary?
All right. Al in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
You know, I like
hey,
the ambiguously
hey,
do it.
I just want to comment on that guy that called in also. I wonder how many of those do-nothing neighbors, if they would like to have a little bit of that $250,000 plus
yeah.
that he's making.
Yeah.
And they go to work every morning, I got a feeling. And
no, also, he keeps his eye on all of them. They're not doing anything.
They're just sitting on their porch.
Yeah.
Well, I also thought this nation was based on a tax policy that those that have the most to lose if this nation fails pay the most. And we've got that reversed somehow.
Yeah.
It seems like those guys that are making that kind of money, they deserve to kick in because if this nation fails, they're the ones that are going to lose the most money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, Aisha Tyler was telling this story on stage at Sexy Liberal Saturday night. She was born poor, as was I. I was born a poor
yeah,
black child.
Right.
Anyway, my point is,
and you turned into Steve Martin.
But she's one of those fine Americans that says, I've been very lucky and I want to give back. I mean, it's that used to be the American way, you know, to go, this is such a great country and I've been, you know, able to do this and I want to pay my fair share. That's it.
But
all right.
Now it's thanks to corporations, über alles, it's the big corporations who aren't paying a dime. That's the
yeah.
real problem.
I was raised in a shanty, and I slept on a rollaway bed in the living room. I had to fold up my bed.
Telling the truth? Anymore?
I'm absolute.
Really?
Absolute truth.
Okay.
That's why I've always been very frugal and careful with my money, so I won't ever have to live like that.
That's right. Well, you have that Midwestern work ethic.
Midwestern.
Yes. It's despicable, people that don't. It's my point. Okay, speaking of the show business, what is up with that Gotti movie? Is that ever going to get made, Edie? You know everything about Hollywood. The superficial saying Lindsay Lohan is out of the Gotti movie, it looks like. The producer's saying they haven't reached an agreement yet, blah, 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 blah. Superficial saying, keep in mind, this is a film that's probably never going to see a camera in the first place. This is just this line I had to read. So I'm pretty sure they're not losing sleep over Lindsay unless the script specifically calls for a pair of freckled battle-worn, pocked by ravages of coke and lesbian gargoyle hands in the third act. Because then that would specifically be her.
Yeah. Well, she just seems to get mentioned at the beginning of almost all movies that are going to be made, and
yeah,
then she's dropped.
To be made.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. She doesn't quite have that Midwestern work ethic, apparently, that you do.
Well, I don't steal from boutiques.
Comedians rally in support of Jerry Lewis. Hey, lady!
Why are you playing me like with a thing in the garden?
Paul Rodriguez, Larry Miller, our friend Tom Dreesen, Norm Crosby, and others joined in support of Lewis, who the MDA says is no longer going to be their spokesman or appear on the... So he will, as it turns out, never walk alone. Jim Doby.
You'll never walk alone.
I just wanted to hear Jim do that. That's what I'm talking about.
Stop with the telethoning and the hurting and the thing and
the
playing.
Telephoning.
And so are they not going to appear?
No.
I guess not.
No.
Massachusetts man shaving while nude on the beach. A Massachusetts man facing lewd charges after lifeguards say he refused to stop shaving himself while nude on the beach. He was shaving his armpits while his shorts were pulled down to his shins when police arrived on the scene.
What?
Which
Who?
Don't.
What?
That's
Who?
Just.
Who's this? Huh? Who's he?
I don't know. It's just a future husband because I don't. I don't know why it would be necessary to have your pants down and why.
Well, he was going to move on to clean shaving in another area.
And I didn't know men shave their armpits other than, you know, Marcus Bachman. Okay. Let's go to Sue in Rockville, Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Sue.
Hey, good morning. That guy from Texas actually sussed me out because every morning I sit in my big Cadillac for 3 hours listening to your show on Sirius
sure.
And I eat bonbons and I run the engine and all morning long people knock at my door and they say, we have a job for you. And I say, go away, go away. I have no interest in working.
Yes, yes. I'm on my way to get my welfare check in my Cadillac.
Well, no, I just sit there and run the gas because my welfare check covers my gas and
sure.
covers, you know, my, covers
sure.
my rent. And my mother, I told her, I said, listen, you're 88 years old. Get off your retired old ass and
sure.
get back to work. Do you
sure.
want fancy feast instead of regular cat food? You got to go earn it.
That's right.
Suck another
this
government
is, this is sass, Sue. Am I right? Is this sass that you're... All right.
I sure hope so.
All right. Good job. Good job on that.
Well, there you go again. We'll
skip the listeners for doing this.
Eating high-class cat food.
Dave in Long Beach, California. Yeah, if you're eating other parts than the eye sockets and holes cat food... You're living off the government. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Could you please inform the next financial genius that calls in stuff he's making $250,000 a year that a tax on salaries above $250,000 means they pay nothing at $250,000.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing extra.
Yeah. I wish they could at least get the talking point.
Right. 30 bucks extra for every $1,000 they make above it.
I know. Exactly. It's, the talking points get a little crinkled when they come off the fax machine. All right. Edie McClurg, delightful as always.
Thank you, dear.
Another really, it just belongs in the Smithsonian, I think. This Monday's with McClurg.
Deep in the basement.
Tomorrow, I believe, Tuesday's with Aisha Tyler and much more. I'd like to thank Chris Ward.
Chris Ward.
What difference does it make? You all look alike. Rebecca Taylor's the key to everything. Right back on the
Everybody in headphones looks
tomorrow.
Alike.
Yeah.